Now, you may ask the question tonight, what does a subject like this have to do with the Bible, with God, or anything to do with eternity? Well, if you'll study the Bible, you'll find that all throughout the Old Testament, and the New Testament in particular, in the days of our Lord, while he was upon this earth, his greatest preaching was done by illustration and by parables. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the Lord, let me give you an illustration. The Lord said, now, here's the way it is. A sower goes out to sow. And that sower is the Christian, the man of God. And he sows good seed. And that seed is the Word of God. And as he goes out and sows the seed, some falls by the wayside. That's the turn row that's packed down. And the seed can't get in it because it is so hard and packed. And the birds of the air, which are a type of demons, come by and steal the seed so it can't get in the soil. Then he said some fell upon rocky ground. And soil barely covered the rock. It looked like it was good. But then the plant, the seed would germinate and try to reach down. And it would hit that rock and it would die. And then some was among thorny soil. But he said the fourth one's a good soil. And the soil is a type of the human heart. God, through conviction, prepares your heart to receive the seed. And the seed, the Word of God, has power. And it brings forth fruit. And it shows you where you stand. And it shows you you cannot save yourself. But it shows you how to get to God. And that's through Jesus Christ. That's what I want to do tonight. I want to use this story as a parable of a person's life that's lost and keeps putting off salvation and putting off till tomorrow what they ought to do today. With all of men's excuses and all of men's pride, men pride themselves in the fact, me and God's got it worked out. Me and God's got a sort of our little thing understood and our little thing going. And God knows what at my heart, and God knows that right before I die, I'm going to get saved. If you've got that mentality, that's why I'm here tonight. You need to understand you'll come at God's time, at God's way, and at God's place to be saved. Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. We're going to get the lights and get into this message. Do be as quiet as you can. And please respect the house of God. And God will honor you for that. Taking our scripture reading tonight from the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in the Old Testament. And I want you to look here at Psalm 60, verse number 11 and verse number 12. The Bible says, give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. What a verse. Boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if the world knew that? Vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Brother Tim Cross, how about you leading us one more time to the throne of grace? Let's pray, everybody praying that God's will be done. Amen. Yes, God, may you touch us and give us grace and great power and great authority. Yes, God. Fill us with the Spirit of our God. Use us for the glory of Jesus. Yes, God. Hear us. Yes, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking tonight on the great Titanic disaster, or someday you'll need God. Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. On the fateful night of April the 14th, 1912, at 11:40 p.m., the greatest maritime disaster in human history took place. The great Titanic, the pride of the White Star Fleet, on her maiden voyage approximately 800 miles from the coast of Newfoundland, foundered or sunk. 2,228 souls were on board. 705 survived. 1,523 souls went down in the icy waters of the Atlantic. Titanic, the very name, represents thoughts of disaster, thoughts of doom, of man's fate, of his vulnerability, of his fallibility. When you think of this great ship, oh, what a picture it is of man's vulnerability. But the Titanic was the world's newest and best-built ship. It was the most beautiful passenger liner of its day. But it was cut down to sail no more on its maiden voyage. The Titanic's life began on March the 31st, 1909, when her keel was laid down. It continued through her launch on May the 31st, 1911, and her triumphant April 10th, 1912 departure on her maiden voyage. But it ended in the early hours of April the 15th, 1912, when her stern plates vanished beneath the chilly, starlit North Atlantic waters of that dreadful night. The great Titanic illustrates not only the vulnerability and the fallibility of man, but the pride, the helplessness, and the procrastination of man in the day of death. The Titanic is a picture of the foolishness of this world. It is literally a snapshot of the pleasure-mad crowd. What a picture of man's desire, man's obsession with pleasure. How it destroys his life when he only lives for this life and does not prepare for the next life. The Titanic was a luxury liner. The Titanic was a party ship. Now when you think about this in 1912, the Titanic had four elevators. It had a 50-phone switchboard, a gymnasium with all the latest electrical exercise equipment. You say, what's so big about that? What's so big about it was it was in 1912. In 1912, the first swimming pool that had ever been put on a luxury liner was placed and put on the great Titanic. It had full-size tennis courts. It had a full orchestra, ballrooms, saloons, lounges, elegant dining, smoking, and reading rooms. It had a well-lit library. It had ice-making machines, a radiant hospital, a barber shop, fresh-cut flowers, a well-equipped darkroom, a post office. The cheapest room, which you see on this slide, in 1912, the cheapest room was $2,300 to ride this ship to New York. The most expensive room was $4,350. The average room was $3,000. It had first, second, and third class. For the most part, only the rich and the famous could ride. But on the ship that night, there was a lot of poor folks, for many immigrants had saved and spent their life savings to ride to America to immigrate to this great country. In 1912, four multi-millionaires were on board the Titanic. John Jacob Astor was worth $150 million in 1912, returning from Egypt with his 19-year-old bride. Benjamin Guggenheim of the American Smelting Refining Company was worth $95 million. The famous clother, Isidore Strauss, was worth $50 million. The son of America's most famous cinematographer was on board and went down with the ship. J. Bruce Ismay of the International Merchantine Marine Company was worth $40 million. A Major Archibald Butt, military aide, the President Taft, was on board. Here's some of the snapshots of these famous riders. Four multi-millionaires and 11 millionaires were on this luxury liner. Just the four multi-millionaires that I mentioned to you could have bought 35 Titanics in 1912. The Titanic cost $10 million to build. And just these four multi-millionaires were worth $350 million. But when death stared them in the face, all of their position and all of their prestige and all of their possessions and positions could not save them in the last second of time, could not give them another heartbeat, could not give them another breath of God's air. Vain, 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 vain is the help of man in death. You're going to need God in death. Man can't help you. The doctor can't help you. The nurse can't help you. Medicine can't help you. When God says it's time to die, well, in that hour you will need God. You're going to need mercy and you're going to need grace. But if you make no preparation in this life, you will not be prepared when that day comes. The passengers on board the Titanic had money, political power, prestige, pleasure, gambling, drinking, dining, dancing, adultery, to save. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can you imagine that they didn't even understand when they set out to New York City that they didn't even have enough lifeboats in case the ship went down? Little did they know the party was almost over. Here's an old saying, he who provides for this life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever. You think about a man that'll save his money, put it in CDs, get him a retirement fund, plan to send his kids to college, but he never prepares to face God. He builds a house. He makes sure everyone's clothed. He makes sure there's food on the table, but he never one time prepares for eternity. Hey, I want to tell you how deceived and blind man can be without God. But the Titanic is a picture of the foolishness of this world. Then secondly, the folly of man's wisdom. The Titanic is a portrait of man's protection, man's ability, and the best man can do. Are you listening? In 1912, Thomas Andrew was the best shipbuilder in the world who drew up the blueprints. He's the architect, the greatest builders that men had produced, the Titanic. Oh, listen, not only that, Captain Edward J. White, who was the White Star Fleet's most capable navigator. I want you to listen to this statement. 3 days after the Titanic disaster, the article was written in Siren and Shipping, a great shipping magazine. Listen to this, April 17, 1912. Just a few days after it sunk, the Titanic was the largest, most magnificent appointed vessel which has ever been put to sea. The greatest skill of the design, the best material procurable, the greatest care of the ablest mechanics of one of the greatest shipbuilding yards in existence were employed to turn out the final triumph of the brain and the hands of man. She was the pride of the British merchantile service. The Titanic was built for security. It was the biggest ship in the world. It took 2 years to construct it, and it was 900 feet long. It weighed 66,000 tons when it was loaded. I want you to try to get in your mind the size of this ship. The three anchors that the Titanic had a combined weight of 31 tons. Just three anchors. Here's the Titanic standing beside the biggest buildings in the world. And you'll see at that time, it was a monstrosity of a ship. It was the best that man could do. It took a team of 20 horses to deliver the 15 1/2 ton center anchor. One link in the anchor chain weighed 175 pounds. It, the rudder weighed 101 tons. It had three steam engines that could produce literally 50,000 horsepower and travel at 23 knots. The crew consisted of 915 people. It had 397 officers and seamen and firemen and trimmers and greasers. The Titanic used 600 tons of coal every single day. What a ship. The best man can do. But it wasn't good enough. Oh, listen, child of God. Listen, sinner friend. The best you can do ain't good enough. You might have everybody fooled. You might be cleaned up on the outside. But in the day of death, your goodness and good works will not hold back the wrath of God. I want you to look at this smokestack on the Titanic. The Titanic had four of these. One smokestack, just one, was big enough to drive two trains side by side down it at the same time. What a ship. This was the best that man could do, but it wasn't good enough. Hey, the Challenger was the best America could do. I remember as Ronald Reagan, our president, I remember as family members stood. It was an accident that I even seen this. It was the morning time. And I just just accidentally was in the right place at the right time, watching as the Challenger launched off from Cape Canaveral. And there it goes, up into space. Everybody's happy. I mean, we're so smart, we don't even need God. While we can throw the Bible out, we believe now in evolution. We don't need God's standards and God's morality. We're getting good without it. But all of a sudden, the best that man could do exploded before the waiting eyes of the crowd. Oh, how man's foolish in this life. Oh, the best that man can do is you build your life on human philosophy and humanism, intellectual advancements. Of man, your ship will sink in the end. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. The theory, now watch this, that bragged to the world that this ship was unsinkable. Hey, but that's a theory. The theory of unsinkable was refuted by the fact that it sunk. What good's theory when theory will not stand in the day of testing? Fact always defeats theory. Truth always defeats error. You'd be pretty smart tonight not to go by your opinions, but to go by the authoritative Word of God. That's all that's going to stand. That's all that's going to last. That's the only reliable record that man has that is infallible and that has no errors in it. Theory said the voyage of the Titanic had clear sailing and there was nothing to worry about. But the fact was, when the Titanic was sailing through the waters of the Atlantic long before it sunk, it was sailing through icy waters. Theory said that no icebergs could sink the Titanic. That's what theory said. But the fact was, when the Titanic of 66,000 tons hit the iceberg at around 20 knots, it was equal to a gigantic hammer blow, equaling 1,173,000 foot tons. When the Titanic hit this iceberg, there was enough energy produced to lift 14 structures the size of the Washington Monument off of their foundation in 1 second. Theory said, no one will find out my sin. But God said, be sure your sins will find you out. We got reprobates like Dr. Ruth. Running all over America telling our young people they can sin and get by. But God said, you'll reap what you sow. Oh, the folly of man and man's ideas. Man thinks he can live for the devil and end up right. Here he says, I can make it to heaven by my good works. You ever heard that? Oh, you know, do as you please. God knows your heart. He understands. Just live a while. Just let go. Have a big time. And worry about facing God some other day. Don't worry about it today. I mean, snort your cocaine. Do your heroin. Do the things of the world. Have a big time. Have fun. We're here today. Go tomorrow. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. That's the end result of sin. And the devil will use you and abuse you and refuse you. And you'll be standing there with no place to go but hell and nowhere to go. Nobody to love you. That is the end of sin when sin runs its course. Wonder how many teenagers in America tonight are weeping and crying like this sailor. His girlfriend's just told him she's pregnant and they're not married. Hey, I wonder how many will go to bed tonight weeping their eyes out because they're afraid of mom and dad. So they go down to the abortion clinic and they kill their baby. Yeah, they got to live with the guilt and all of the aftermath of that thing. Oh, listen to me now. The devil does not play fair. He never has and he never will, as sure as you hear. Man says, I'm good enough by myself to go to heaven. I was baptized as a baby. I've taken Holy Communion. I'm a pretty good fellow. Hey, if you're so good, why did Jesus die? say only He died for bad people. No, He died for everybody. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The reason that Christ had to die, there was no other way of salvation except through Him. Now look at this slide. Here you've got the masses that are going off into hell. Over to your left is a few little churches. There's one with a Bible on the outside. There's one with a cross. They're exalting the Word of God, and they're exalting the cross. Over to your right, you've got a lot of fancy church buildings, but they're walking right by them on the way to hell. The Bible said that the road to hell, many there be that go in thereat, and that there's just a few that are safe. Why? Man thinks he's good enough. He don't think he needs to humble himself before God, because he is judging himself, measuring himself against everybody else instead of what counts. You say, well, he don't have to be saved. Everybody that's as perfect as Jesus don't have to get saved. You say, well, who's that? Nobody. He's the standard. We're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What'll save a man from the fires of hell and the wrath of God? What'll take a man to heaven? Only one thing, the cross. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. You know how you get the way, the truth, and the life? You get Jesus. Because if you get Him, you've got the way and the truth and the life. And He dogmatically said, it's not up for discussion. It's not refutable. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what He said. You say, well, I don't think I need to be saved. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to do as good as I can, and I'll end up all right. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Theory says, oh, we'll be positive. Just think positive. Just, you know, have the right attitude. Build up your self-esteem. Think the best, and it'll turn out the best. That's one of the biggest lies the devil has ever told. Hey, listen, even after the Titanic had foundered, here are some of the headlines the next day after she sunk. What does this newspaper say that you're looking at? All saved from the Titanic after a collision. Boy, that sounds positive. Boy, we want a positive message now. Don't tell us about hell and sin. You know, just tell everybody's all right. Jesus died for everybody, therefore universal salvation. We're all sons of God, the fatherhood of God, and the brotherhood of man. Ain't one thing wrong with that. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Hey, they're not all saved. They're not all saved. There is 1,500 plus that died in the icy waters of the Atlantic, and that lie will not change that fact. You think I'm positive won't change anything. Hey, not only that, but when you read some of the other newspapers, the New York Sun's banner headline, all saved from Titanic after collision. Here's another one. Around noon, a message came from Cape Race, beyond Montreal. All Titanic passengers safe. The Virginian towing in the liner to Halifax. Earlier, the New York Times. Now, this is when the New York Times became a popular newspaper. The New York Times reported the Titanic had sunk and many, many had died. The New York Sun criticized the Times and quoted them as being irresponsible reporting of the ship's foundering. Although the news was bad, although almost every newspaper run down the New York Times for what they reported, they were right and the others were made a fool. It matters not what man says. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, we want to think positive. Everything's going to turn. The only way everything's going to turn out all right is if you make it right now. And that's by being saved. The Baltimore Sun, the Worcester Evening Gazette reported, all is well. Don't you listen to the Wall Street Journal. The gravity of the damage of the Titanic is apparent. But the important point is she did not sink. Man is the weakest and most formidable creature of the earth. His physical means of protection and offenses are trifling. But his brain has within it the spirit of the divine. He overcomes natural obstacles by thought, which is incomparably the greatest force in the universe. Hey, 1,500 plus people didn't overcome the disaster by thought. When you're burning in hell, you would not, God, you'd not listen to what Jesus said. But it'll be too late. Now listen, the White Star office in New York City. And notice what this one says here. This one says, the Titanic sinks, 1,300 drowned, 866 saved. That's a half-truth. And a half-truth sometimes is more damning than a whole lie. I guarantee you nobody in here denies God. We got any atheists in here? Raise your hand. I don't see any atheists. Probably everybody in here accepts the Bible to be God's Word. You believe Jesus died on the cross, but you've never been saved. You never trusted Him. You think because you go to church you're all right. Because you tithe. Because you've been baptized. You believe the half-truth. Hey, Jesus Christ on the cross can save, but only if you receive Him. Jesus said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now here they are, rallying outside the White Star offices in New York and around the world. They've notified all the people here in New York City that all is well. But when the truth came out, now are you listening? When the truth came out, and one of the employees of the White Star fleet would walk outside, the crowd was crying uncontrollably. And they were saying, "You lied to us. Why did you lie to us? Why didn't you tell us the truth?" You know why they lied to us? Because they thought they were telling them the truth. They didn't mean to lie to them. They thought it was all right. I wonder how many priests and preachers are going to end up in hell and their congregations are going to be there and they're going to scream, "Why did you lie to us? Why did you lie to us?" And them poor old preachers are going to have to say, "Because I believe the same lie you did." Oh, what a tragedy. When I think about man and the folly of man, Jesus Christ plainly said, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Say, "Preacher, pray for me." You know what? You don't have to get me to pray for you. You can pray for yourself. Hey, I'd be glad to pray for you. Praise God, you don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through another man or woman. You can go through Jesus. He is the mediator. He is the high priest in heaven. All theory says, "That preacher, you don't understand. A God of love would never send me to hell." But the Bible said, and in hell He lifted up His eyes, being in torments, and said, "I am tormented in this flame." Theory says, well, if I go to hell, someday I'll get out. But fact says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever, and they have no rest day or night. Theory says, I have plenty of time to get saved, but God said today is the day of salvation. And now is the accepted time. Seven iceberg warnings were telegraphed to the ill-fated Titanic. Here's one of the men that sent some of these messages, these men that I'm showing you now. And one message came into the Titanic. Now think about this, seven iceberg warnings. Here's one of them. Here's a copy of one of the warnings that day as it went out. Now, when the warnings went out, seven iceberg warnings come in to the Titanic, and the different ships are warning them that disaster is ahead. Well, that slide's not going to fall down. But what is on it? It shows you every single ship that warned the Titanic that icebergs were ahead. Did you know that a ship nearby had warned the Titanic that icebergs were ahead? You know what the man on the Titanic, the operator, said? He said, "Shut up! I'm busy." You know what the man of that ship done? He cut his radio off and went to bed. Because the man on the Titanic insulted him. "Shut up! I'm busy." 30 minutes later, the Titanic hit the iceberg. I wonder some of you tonight, you say, well, why don't you shut your big mouth and let me out here? Shut up! I've got pot to smoke. I've got drugs to do. I've got fun to have. Hey, 1 second in hell, you won't be screaming, shut up. You'll be begging God not to close his ear and your cries of mercy. But it'll be too late. Oh, the folly of man. Tedrick Fleet saw the iceberg and rung the bell 3 times in the crow's nest and telephoned the bridge. You know what the reply was? You know what they told him? The men commanding the ship. They said, thank you, and hung up. 37 seconds later, hit the iceberg. I'm going to tell you something. God ain't playing games with you. You're not here by accident. He said, well, I'll get out of this pressure-packed situation, and I won't be back. That ain't going to help you. You're still going to face God, and you're still going to face the consequences of sin. Hey, you can indifferently push it aside. You can indifferently look the other way. Close your ears to the truth. But one day, you will need God. I wonder how many times some of you have been warned of hell. You've been warned to get saved. You've been warned by God. You've been warned by tragedies. You've been to funerals. You've been to the hospitals. You've seen your own family and friends, maybe your own self. Tragedies happen too. And God convicts you and say, one day you're going to die. And God plead with you. The problems of life, the perils of others, things happen. And you go on and go on and don't listen to God. But what I'm trying to say, men say, well, I'm just too busy. I don't have time to think about God. But let me tell you, there's always icebergs around in your life. And that little ship you're sailing on down the road of life, there's icebergs everywhere, and there's danger everywhere, and there is accidents everywhere. You never know one day to the next if you'll see the sunlight of another day, but you can know one thing, that you're saved, and no matter what happens, it'll be all right. Icebergs are everywhere. You'd be surprised how many people die every year by lightning. Accidents. Your school bus in the morning might be hit. You may face God tomorrow. Icebergs are everywhere. I want to tell you something. Nobody plans to die. It'll sneak up on you at the most unexpected time. And life is taken. Little children die. Teenagers die. Parents die. But when you reach the age of accountability, you are responsible to get saved. And there's some of you, you're not that old, but you know you're lost. Hey, you done went through the ritualisms of being baptized and doing better, got mom and daddy fooled and the preacher fooled. But God knows that in your heart you've never been saved by the grace of God. Icebergs are everywhere. Icebergs are all around us. People's dying and meeting God and going out into eternity. You say, well, I'm in good health. What's that mean? Did you know from the time the Titanic set sail, it was in trouble from the very start? Did you know you've been in trouble ever since you've been born? The Titanic almost run into another ship before it even got out of the harbor. It was in trouble from the start. The Bible said, and that each one of us, Psalm 51:5, in sin did my mother conceive me. We've been in trouble. Hey, you don't teach a child to lie, you teach them not to. You don't teach a kid to steal, you teach them not to. Why? They've got that Adamic nature, that fallen nature. And every child has to be instructed not to do wrong. You teach them to do right, and that proves the evil nature that's in us. And then, quickly, thirdly, not only the foolishness of this world, the folly of man's wisdom, but the futility of man's wishes. There's not a man, there's not a woman, there was not a child on that ship when it set forth to New York City that thought it would be the last trip. I wonder how many of you have any idea this could be the last service you're ever in. I wonder if you understand it might be the last time God asks you to be saved. You may live another 10 years, but tonight could be the last time God ever deals with you. Tonight could be the last service that you're ever in. Oh, the futility of man's wishes. 20 lifeboats on the ship. Each would hold 58 people. But the lifeboats had no compasses, had no sails, had three lamps among the 20 lifeboats. And many had the drainage plugs pulled out and had to be fixed before they could even use them. What's a drainage plug for? It's in case the water gets in that lifeboat and you can let the water out of it by taking the plug out. Now, what good's a lifeboat if it's got a hole in it? It might save you for a little bit, but in the end, you're going to go down.
Yeah.
Now, you can puff your chest out in pride and say, I'm not as bad as a drug addict. I'm not as bad as a drunk. Well, I go to church. I'm all right. You know what? You might appear to be all right. Them lifeboats looked all right. I mean, every one of them did. But I want to tell you, when the testing time came and they put them in the water, if they hadn't put the drainage plugs in, they would have sunk. I want to tell you, in the day of judgment, your little religious rituals and your little good works ain't going to measure up. Hey, it's like a live boat with the plug out. You might look good for a little while, have everybody fooled, but in the day of death, God knows. And it's going to be tragic in that hour. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, there'll be many come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then Jesus said, I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. That means never at any place at any time. Knew them in salvation. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Even when the captain cried, the ship was sinking. Many passengers went on dining, drinking, and dancing and gambling, not even conscious that the ship was sinking. I'm telling you, with all the prophecies of the Bible being fulfilled, death all around you, destruction all around you, how can you stay lost? I'm telling you, God's giving you warning after warning, and you keep on living your life, dining, drinking, dancing, doing your thing without God, not even knowing death is all around. That's the way people are living their lives. A group of gamblers went out on the deck of the ship to look around, returned to their card games, and went down with the ship. Others refused to put on life preservers. One woman said, hey, it'll mess up my gown. That's why some of you don't want to get saved. It'll mess up your sin. Others laughed at the porters and the stewards who warned them of the danger and begged them to get. Listen, many of them went back to bed. They had to literally break the doors down to get them up. And they laughed. You said, well, this ship ain't going to sink. They ain't no need getting out in that cold water. And we'll just be coming right back. Hey, I wonder how many's laughing today at the man of God that preaches on hell and on sin and on being saved. You say, well, you're just, negative and you're just an extremist. Hey, in hell you won't think I'm an extremist. You'll know I told you the truth. Amen. The stewards had to literally had to throw some of the women into the lifeboats who wouldn't even get in. Some put on life preservers and went dancing around the ship making fun of the disaster. Some of the third class passengers played soccer with the ice. Mr. Albert A. Stewart, an old gentleman who had a large interest in Barnum and Bailey Circus, told Mr. and Miss Dickerson Bishop, come out and amuse yourselves. You ever heard of that? What about these hurricane parties?
Yeah.
When they say the hurricane's coming in and all the young folks get as drunk and as smoked up as they can to find God and dine God to touch them. Though we're living in the day of foolhardiness and men that aren't taking this thing serious. Oh, listen, I've got to hurry. Now listen real quick. John Jacob Astor, when asked why he didn't have a life preserver on, you know what he said? Mr. Astor, you're worth $150 million. You can buy 15 Titanics. And why don't you have a life preserver on? He said, I didn't think I'd need one. Oh, God. I wonder how many in the day of death, when God says, why didn't you trust my son? Why wouldn't you get saved? Well, God, I just didn't think I needed it. I thought I was all right. And God said, but I give you a Bible. I sent you preachers. I warned you, and I warned you. You ought to know there was no way to heaven but through the Son of God. Many think they don't need to be saved until it's too late. They handed out other passengers life preservers. You know what one said? I'll take my chances. Hey, friend, listen to me. That water is 28 degrees. And the ship's going down. And if you ain't in a lifeboat, you ain't got a chance. Are you listening? When death comes and you face God, if you're not in Jesus, if you're not saved, you ain't got a chance. There was some that was asked to get in the lifeboat. You know what one woman said? She said, I believe I'll wait till they find a better solution. Hey, listen. When the ship's going down, there ain't no better solution. I know it's crude. I know it's rude. I know there ain't no air conditioning on that thing. There ain't no heat. There ain't no gambling. There ain't no dancing. But thank God, that's where your life gets saved. I'm going to tell you, you can play around with God and play around with God's salvation. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Then the foolishness of waiting to be saved. Can you imagine watching the lifeboats go out? As the lifeboats were being filled, one man replied. They said, sir, are you going to try to get on the lifeboat? He said, plenty of time. And laughed and walked off. Would you be that foolish tonight when God is sending such a warning to play with your eternal soul and say, plenty of time. Hey, there ain't plenty of time. If God says now, God means now. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. One more drink, one more wild night on the town, one more adulterous affair. I want to ask you something. What will you sell your chance with God for a few more moments and pleasures of this world? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't never been a woman. There has never been a man. There's never been a drink of liquor. There's never been a beer. There's never been crack cocaine. There's never been a drug. There's never been a high. Weren't you going to hell forever over? You say, well, men don't go to hell for drinking. I know they go to hell for being lost. But they stay lost because they want to give up their sin. That's right. You say, well, you know, I've done some bad things and I'll go to hell. You don't go to hell for what you do. You go to hell for what you are. And when you get changed from what you are, your behavior gets changed. You can clean up your behavior. Hey, you don't need to be cleaned on the outside. You need to be changed on the inside. And if the inside gets right, God will straighten everything else up. But the fact of man's weakness, fifthly, the Titanic was a picture of man's pride. Oh, listen. The owners, the builders, the designers, the captain, the crew, the news media had all announced to the world this ship was unsinkable. Here's what Alexander Carlisle said after the Titanic foundered. The owner of the White Star fleet, he made this statement. He said, we accepted with heroic credibility the proud boast that the Titanic was unsinkable. Alas, another human illusion was proved to be in vain. Had the IMM White Star Office, PAS Franklin, when he heard the ill-fated news of the Titanic broke down, weeping. I thought her unsinkable, and I based my opinion on the best expert advice. I do not understand it. You say, well, I don't need to be saved. What are you basing that on? You didn't get that from Jesus. You got that from some sorry preacher that wants your money. Hey, you got that from some college professor. You got that from some godless school teacher. You didn't get that from God. Jesus said that a man's got to be saved. And you got to be saved. You say, well, preacher, I just don't believe there's a hell. Where'd you get your information? You didn't get it out of the Bible. Hey, you know what? If my soul's eternal and my soul's at stake, I do believe I would find an authoritative book to read to find out what I need to do to be saved. Well, put them down. They're afraid what others will say. Captain E.J. White, the captain said, listen to this pride. I cannot imagine any condition which would cause this ship to founder. I cannot conceive of any disaster happening to this vessel. Modern shipbuilding has gone beyond that. Yeah, modern day society's got too smart to believe the Bible, ain't they? The last interview before the voyage, Captain Smith boasted, "I have never been in any accident of any sort worth speaking about. I've never saw a wreck. I've never been in any predicament that threatened to end in disaster of any sort. Oh, I'm telling you right now, I don't have to get saved tonight. Why, I've lived last Sunday. I didn't go to the altar. I'll be back this Sunday. Why, ain't nothing going to happen to me." Hey, don't listen to the lies of the devil. When God says now, he means now. Dr. Percy Ray went to witness to one of the big stars of the Grand Ole Opry years and years ago. My dad told me the guy's name, and I forget it. I have to ask him again to write this down, but Percy Ray went and witnessed to him. And he said, "Sir, God's burdened me about your soul. You need to be saved." He said, "Preacher, don't worry about me." He said, "I went to the doctor last week, had a checkup, and the doctor said, well, you'll probably live another 20 years. And he died the next week." You ain't telling God when you're going to die. Hey, listen to me tonight. Hey, be ready to face God at all times. The crew, when Miss Albert Caldwell was watching the deckhands carry up her luggage at Southampton, she asked one of them, "Is this ship really unsinkable?" "Yes, lady," the steward answered, "God himself could not sink this ship." Man challenged God. Shipping industry, the highly technical magazine Shipbuilder, described her compartment system in a special edition 1911 and said the vessel practically was unsinkable. Oh, the tragedy of the pride of man. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." How this illustrates so many people in our day. They live as if there's never going to be an end. Old Liz Taylor still getting married every other year, living life. There's never going to come an end. Hey, she's in her 60s now, and the end is inside, and she ain't slowed up a bit.
Yeah.
That's the way people are living. And the older they get, the harder they get. Wine, dine, dance, have a big time, and never consider that God's telling them the end is near. Many live as if there's no hell, no God, no judgment. Pride will cause you to say, "I've got plenty of time." Pride will cause you to say, "I'll get saved before I die." Pride will have you to say, "How do you know the Bible's true? I don't need to be saved." That's pride. You've got your religion, and I've got mine. Hey, I ain't got religion. I've got Jesus. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." It's reported that John Jacob Astor and other wealthy men went back to their cabins before the ship sunk, put on their best clothes, and said, "Men, let's go down like gentlemen." Think about that. Still proud to the last second. God have mercy. I went and witnessed to a man not long back. Proud man. And I said, "Sir, you know you need to get saved." He said, "I know." He said, "But I've got my own idea of this thing too." He said, "You know what? I've always tried to take things like a man." He said, "The only thing I hope I do is when I stand before God at the judgment, if I ain't right, I hope I can take it like a man." What a fool and an idiot. What do you mean take it like a man when God slings you into the lake of fire? How are you going to take it like a man screaming like a panther in a forest fire when the fires of hell consume your soul for rejecting the Son of God? Don't ask you a question tonight. What's the possibility that God sunk this ship? Did God sink it? The fear of divine wrath, man challenged God. Many circumstances overwhelmingly convinced me this was no common tragedy. Almost every major city and part of the world was represented on the Titanic. Captain E.J. White was 59 years old, 38 years with the White Star Fleet, 43 years on the sea, and he performed like an amateur. His last voyage before retirement. The mistakes. The trial run of the Titanic was for only 8 hours. The captain failed to have one single boat drill and canceled the one the day she sunk. The crew didn't even know the lifeboats could be lowered down, filled without breaking the ends. The final warning was not given by any officer, no general alarm. The ship's officers were never assembled, no organized system of safety whatsoever. Many boats were half-filled indifferently. They were lowered and sent away quickly. Some of the crew never reported to their stations. No life-saving or signal devices were reviewed. Crew and officers were strangers to each other and the passengers. The iceberg warnings were not heeded. Sent by the Baltic, America, California, Washington, D.C. In the face of danger, as speed was increased to its highest point on the voyage, binoculars were refused to the lookout crew in the crow's nest. Hey, thing! Mistake after mistake after mistake was making by men that ought to have known better. But the mystery, the temperature changed suddenly. Five compartments were filled in 10 minutes with 14 foot of water. If only four had been filled, the Titanic would not have sunk. If the Titanic had heeded any of the 7 iceberg warnings on the day she sunk, she would not have went down. If ice conditions had been normal, if the night had been moonlit or rough, they would have seen the iceberg long before they did. If she had seen the iceberg 15 seconds sooner or 15 seconds later, she would have hit it at a different angle and would not have sunk. If she had hit the iceberg any other way, she wouldn't have went down. If Captain Smith had ordered full power ahead, if he hadn't have done that. If watertight bunkheads had been one deck higher. If she had carried enough lifeboats. If the Californian, this ship 10 miles away, had come to her rescue. If she had not shut off her radio 15 minutes before the iceberg hit the Titanic. Had any one of these ifs been turned around, she would not have sunk. God is in control. And at the hour of death, you ain't going to talk him out of it. Pay him off. When your time comes to die, you're gone. Just as sure as you're here. Then the fate of the wicked. Lifeboat after lifeboat pulled away from the ship. Some with only 10 passengers, 12, 15. And they had a capacity of at least 58, and some even got 65 on. One had even over 70. When the passengers finally saw their fate, they stumbled toward the lifeboats, but it's too late. I wonder how many services has gone by in your church when the lifeboats come by and nobody got on board. I mean, everybody could have got on board, but nobody had come. Nobody had get saved. Nobody would trust Christ. And she went away empty. One day she'll pull out the last time. The Titanic is a picture of the rapture. When Jesus comes for the church, there's going to be a great separation. Before people can have a chance to be saved, the church is going to be gone. Oh, picture of regret. J. Bruce Ismay's wife, he's worth $40 million. She stands on the ship with a pearl necklace around her neck worth $250,000. And she wept like the poorest beggar on the ship. Then a picture of responsibility. One man was holding his 12-year-old son. And the little boy grabbed his daddy and wouldn't let go. And they died together. Right there at the lifeboat. The officers tried to get that man to put that boy in the lifeboat. And the boy held on to daddy's legs. You say, boy, that's love. Boy, that daddy loved his boy. I'll tell you something. If that had been my boy, I'd have picked him up and threw him in that lifeboat. Are you listening to me? Hey, your own flesh and blood have got to be saved. Hey, mom and dad, how many of you are literally leading them to hell by your life and by your unbelief? Hey, little boys and girls need a saved mama and a saved daddy. It ain't enough to put bread on the table. You've got to get them to the bread of life, who is Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, the disasters of this awful tragedy. There was a man got saved years ago in one of Brother Ralph's tent meetings. And I've heard him tell about this. So they began to pray for this man and pray and pray and pray. The man got saved. I believe it was on a Thursday night. Said the next week on a Friday night, his boy got saved. The boy gave this testimony. Said, I've done made up my mind. If my daddy is going to hell, I was going to hell. Are you listening? Oh, listen. There was a man one night walking away from his house in the snow. He heard something behind him. Looked back. There's his little 5-year-old boy. And his daddy's going to the tavern. He looks back. Boy, what are you doing out here? He said, Daddy, I'm a walking in your footsteps. Oh, that man got under such conviction. It's a true story. And not long after that, God said, hey, you can either point your children to heaven or you can take them to hell by your actions. Then it's a picture of responsibility. Oh, listen to me. Then it's a picture of broken relationships. Can you picture these men and women standing on the deck, some of them draped in the finest furs money could buy, some of them with thousands of dollars worth of rings on their fingers, but at the moment of death, they were as if they were paupers. Don't you look at these children. Every child in that picture lost a daddy on the Titanic. And that's just one town. I wonder, Daddy, you rebel against God and that saved wife begged you to get saved your own children out. I wonder if the rapture took place, it'd be gone. Daddy'd be left behind. To go through the tribulation and to be lost. Then the future of the wise, 2,228 were on the ship. Lifeboats would have held 1,160. 705 were saved. There were room for 455 more. But thank God, I'm so glad I can tell you tonight, Jesus has never run out of room. Hey! So millions have come. There's still room for everybody that will come. There's room at the cross for you. He'll never have to say, hey, I ain't got enough blood left to cleanse you. Thank God there's enough blood to cleanse the sins of every man. And everybody can be saved if they'll just come to God. On the Titanic, A.H. Pushin left $300,000 in money, jewelry, securities in a box in his cabin. Later, he was asked about the money. Why'd you leave all that money? He said, at the time, the money seemed a mockery. He said, I picked up three oranges instead. I'll tell you something. Hey, on the day of death, your rock and roll heroes can't help you. It ain't going to matter then. And your big times, it ain't going to matter. Only thing's going to matter. Having been washed in the blood of the Lamb is my name in the Lamb's book of life. It's an amazing thing how this life and its glitter fades away when death comes. The sin, the excuses that keep you from God will be your greatest abhorrence in hell. Pleasure riding Titanic became a gigantic coffin for 1,500 plus souls. Cars, boats, ships, motorcycles, airplanes have become coffins for drunks, for reckless drivers. Judgments come. Queen Elizabeth lay on her dying bed, said, all of my possessions for a moment of time. If you want God to be there in death, you must get saved in this life. After death, there's no hope. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All the pomp, the glory, the beauty, the prestige of this world ain't going to matter. Don't you look. There's that old Titanic going down. There she is now. That's a National Geographic showing the location of where she was literally broken in half. And one went one way and one went the other way. Coal and all kinds of things are just literally all over the ocean floor. The great beauty of the Titanic. I want you to look at it now. Hey, it's not beautiful now. Hey, it's rusty now. The pomp's gone. The beauty's gone. The pride's gone. Look at it. It's not anything to be admired any longer. I want you to look at that picture. How fitting. There's some shoes laying there. Somebody's shoes. There's where the wheel of the ship used to be. There's the liquor bottles. Of course, they're there. Oh, the tragedy of dying lost. There's that old Titanic. Look at that liquor bottle. How symbolic, a liquor bottle beside the commode. Hey, you know how stupid sin is? A man will drink his guts out to get to throw his guts up. God have mercy. And there she is. Look at that little baby doll up there. Just a few remains. Rusted, ruined. Boy, the best man can do is all. Look here. There, that used to be the grandstand, the great chairway there. Now look at it. It used to hang down from the ceiling there. There's that beautiful Titanic, 1912. She pulled out, hey, the party ship, the best man can do. And the best man can do, won't you look at it now. That's going to be you one of these days. Oh, you're here tonight, you're full of pride. Well, you can tell me what all you're going to do and what all you're worth and all your goodness and all this stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, in the day of judgment. It won't mean anything. The beauty of it's going to fade away. And the beautiful women of this world who live for the devil, they die. And when they die, they go to the same grave everybody else goes to. And if they're lost, they go to the same hell everybody else goes to that's lost. The beauty of the heroes, but when they die, hey, the Osbournes are out there. And they die horrible deaths, young ages. There's the sex goddess of America, Marilyn Monroe. There she is being carried out after a drug overdose. And there she is in the morgue. Hey, where's the beauty? It's gone. Hey, you sell your soul for this life, and it's going to be gone. They're drinking, can't get enough. Partying, boy, got to have more, can't get enough. But the end results. And the more funerals we have, Brother Tim, the more we're drinking, the more we're dining, and the more we're sinning against God. And death is all around us. More on the Titanic that night. Here's some reports of this man here, Officer Lightoller said. It was 28 degrees when the people that sunk with the Titanic hit the water. He was one of a few men that went into the water and got on size of a capsized lifeboat and got it turned over and was saved. He said when he hit the water, he said it felt like 1,000 knives cutting him at one time. One woman literally froze with her baby in her arms. One woman cried out to Peter Daly, "Oh, save me, save me." He cried back, "Good lady, only God can save you now." Many survivors, that even those that survived, went to an early death because they could not erase the screams of those that died that night from their memory. Fireman George Kimmich described the pleas for help like 100,000 fans had a British football cup final. Oh, the beautiful Titanic's become a companion of worms and rust and decay. What the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. How dieth the wise man? As the fool. Here today, gone tomorrow. Every party's going to come to an end. Every high's going to come down. And every person is going to stand before God. As that Titanic went down, there were 8 ministers on the ship. Not a one of those men of God would get on the lifeboat. They gave their place to somebody else. And there was an old Irish preacher. When he hit the water, he swam as long as he could. And he went from lifeboat to lifeboat, screaming to the top of his lungs, "Get saved! Get saved! Get saved!" I want to tell you, I'm here tonight to tell you, the ship of this world is going down, and God sent a lifeboat by, and I'm crying, "Get saved! Get saved! Get saved! Get saved!" Time is running out. God help us to hear the call of God. Jesus is coming soon. Oh, dear God, the fear of death. Oh, the funerals. Listen, look at the coffins. Death all around us. Death all around us. And then it's hell forever without God. There was a man on the Titanic. Boy, I love this story. There was a man on the Titanic that night. And he was a survivor. As soon as he could get to a telegraph office, he said, "I don't want a lengthy letter. I just want to send this little note." He said, "My sister knows I was on the Titanic." He says, "I want you to get her this little note and just put on it, 'Saved, Fred.'" Hey, listen, if you can say that, that's enough. If you can say, "I'm saved," you don't have to say, "Hey, I can do all the good works and I've done this and I've done that." Hey, only thing is going to matter in the day of death. Are you saved? Do you know the tragedy of the Titanic? There's a lifeboat. Wasn't even used. You know why it wasn't used? Nobody took it serious quick enough. There's one thing about the Titanic. At that time, the popular music was ragtime. But when they come down to the hour of death, their song changed. "Nearer, my God, to Thee." And I'm going to tell you tonight, just as sure as there's a God in heaven, your song's going to change too. Yeah, listen, it won't be, "I'm going to rock and roll all night and party every day." In the hour of death, you're going to be crying, "Somebody tell me about God. Somebody help me. Somebody let me know there's some hope beyond the grave. Somebody let me know there's some salvation." Listen, in death, that's all that's going to matter. "Give us help from trouble, for thine is the help of us." hear my God. I want to ask you something. Are you saved? You say, well, I've been to the altar. That ain't what I asked you. Are you saved? Is Jesus in your heart? Have you ever got on the lifeboat? That's all it's going to matter. Hear my God to thee. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, judgment. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tonight, listen, tonight, I'm not asking you to join a Baptist church. I'm asking you to come to Jesus. I'm not asking you to come to me. I'm asking you to come to Jesus. Because one day, hey, it's going to be over. Went down. All those people that went down with them. There's a little boy crying for mama. Mommy, mommy, mommy! Too late! It's too late, mama! Tell them about Jesus! Hey! It's about nice folks tonight. Missions on children. As they get the lights tonight, I want to ask you a question. Do you know that you're saved by the grace of God? Do you know that if you die tonight, you're ready to meet God? Because if you don't know that, then anything you do know don't really matter. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Say, preacher, I just don't know about your way. My way don't mean a hill of beans. It's Jesus. That's the way. Hey, the lifeboat's coming by. Hey, the lifeboat's coming by. Don't you want to get on board? Well, if I was lost, I would. Well, I'd say, Jesus, you'd save a sinner like me. I'd take a God like you. I'm going to tell you something. There's some people in this building tonight. You're members of churches, but you know in your heart you're troubled. You don't have that unshakable assurance. Well, I'd get it tonight. Now, Father, in Jesus' blessed name, God, we've done all we can do humanly possible to be faithful to your word, to be faithful, God, to the call of God. Lord Jesus, you're the Savior. Holy Spirit, you're the convictor. I pray you'll produce work repentance in hearts tonight. God, I pray you'll give somebody enough courage, enough grace. God, walk out from where they're at. God, I know tonight the devil's going to battle. He's going to battle hard. God, I know tonight all hell's going to be against every person coming to this altar. And I pray tonight you'll break in on us. I pray tonight, great God, the power of God will fall. God, you'll deliver sinners tonight. Father, form as it were a vacuum over this building, around these grounds. Leave nothing here but the convicting power of our God. Save sinners tonight, dear Jesus. Your holy will be done, and I'll give you glory in Christ's name. I want us to stand our feet all over the building, if you will. We're standing, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you don't have to, please don't leave. Reverence to God, the Holy Spirit that's here tonight. Are you man enough, woman enough, boy, girl enough? Walk down this aisle. Get on your knees. Admit to Jesus you're not saved. Would you just step out right now? Come on. Sir, come on. Come on. Please do. Please do. Please do. Young people, if you don't know you're saved, please come. Please come. Look, I can't save you tonight, but our blessed Savior can. Please come. Sinner, please come. Won't you come to Jesus? Won't you come to the Savior tonight? Listen, this is what it's all about. I know I said some awful hard things tonight. I know that and I understand that. I've not said one thing that you didn't need to hear. Some of you tonight, listen to me. Like one young man's already done in Christian school this week. Sometime when I was young, I made a profession. And that's all some of you've got, a profession. Somebody went to the altar and you went to, or pressure's put on you. Mom and dad said it's time you join the church, or preacher talked to you, said a few words. Jesus did come in your heart. You know that. God knows that. Just as sure as there's a God in heaven, there's some church members lost here tonight. You're playing games with God. God knows. You can't fool me. Why don't you quit that life of misery? Why don't you come tonight and let's get it settled? Would you do it? Would you do it? Would you just step out where you're at? Would you just come and the best way you know how? Say, Lord Jesus, I do trust you. I do believe on you. I do ask you to forgive me and save me. Would you do that right now? Would you do it? Listen, don't do it for me. I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm not trying to do anything to embarrass you. Listen, if the ship you're on is sinking. It's sinking. You know it's going down. But like many of those that could have gotten the lifeboats, hey, you're convinced somehow. I don't know how the devil's done it. But you think, preacher, plenty of time. Plenty of time. But time's running out. You know, as they stood out there, Brother Eddie, on the ship's deck, they could still hear the band playing. As long as the band's playing, everything's all right. The lights are still on. Do you know the lights didn't go off till right before it sunk? They stayed on. Hey, as long as the lights are on, boy, everything looks good. Get God off my mind. Don't have to think about death. Boy, when that old ship started rising up, the lights cut off. All the lifeboats are out. And the band singing, "Nearer My God to Thee." A panic. Hey, can you feel that panic that hit them proud men's hearts as they knew they were going down? And they were as lost as a ball in high winds. Some of you tonight, lights are still flashing. Boy, the world's still going wide open. But tonight, God slowed you down enough that you can hear the old ship's bow turning upwards. You can feel it moving. She's a-going down. God's saying, get on the lifeboat. Hey, this could be the last time it ever pulls out tonight. Would you come? I'll tell you something. That there's a spirit of resistance in here. Listen, there's somebody, if you'd break loose and obey God, it's untelling what God would do. Boy, there's somebody really fighting this thing. You know, I'd junk my religion and I'd get to Jesus. So, preacher, all you're trying to do is make a bad lesson unto God. Would you hear me tonight? It don't matter what denominational label you've got. If you're lost, you're going to hell. If you'll get saved, God will put you where He wants you. You ain't got to worry about that. Would you listen tonight? I've not bragged on me. I've not bragged on this church. I've bragged all night on Jesus and what He can do. That's who I'm trying to get you to. He didn't say, you've got to live perfect. He said, come. He just said, come. Say, preacher, I'm afraid I'll come the wrong way. If you're under conviction and want to be saved, you can't come the wrong way. He just said, come. He just said, come. Now listen to me. Everything I've said tonight has been directed at lost people. Brother Eddie, there's a message in itself about that Californian. 10 miles away. Listen. The Titanic sent up a rocket. After rocket, after rocket, distress call, after distress call, and the men stood on the bow of the Californian like they were paralyzed and said, I wonder what that means. Rocket after rocket after rocket, emergency, emergency. They called the captain, called him over and over again. He said, well, if the next one's not a white rocket, call me back. Why didn't they at least get the man on the radio and try to find out if everything's all right? But no, they were unconcerned. And you know what the truth came out? And the captain denied it till his death, but some of the men admitted it. That captain was afraid of them icebergs. He was afraid if he went to try to help the Titanic, he would sink also. And he just said, let them go to hell. Let them sink. I ain't taking a chance on going down too. And they let them sink. They let her sink. You know what? The Carpathia went and picked up the passengers. And right when they got to the last lifeboat, here comes the California. And the Carpathia was asked, the captain, by the Californian, do you want us to help you carry any passengers? He said, no. Ha! See, they wasn't worthy of taking a passenger. They cared more about their own well-being. than that sinking ship. Some of you, you won't even, listen, you won't be faithful to God. Folks going to hell all around you, and you're afraid somebody hurt your feelings if you ask them if they're saved. You care more about your little feelings than somebody's soul. Do we pray? Are we reading the Bible? I know the battle you're against. I'm against it too. If we get down to business and get concerned about souls, we'll cross the obstacles like Brother Tim so greatly preached this morning. Bless God, we'll get that old boy to Jesus. We'll have to take the roof off. Well, I'm glad you come tonight. I thank God for all He's done, but you know what? He didn't do all He wanted to do. Thank God for those that's on the lifeboat.